Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Grad Life Careers Podcast. My name is Rory Monks, and in today's episode, I spoke to Darren O'Sullivan, who is a development executive with Enterprise Ireland. We spoke about graduating from UCD with a degree in mechanical engineering, his internship in Amsterdam, his modeling career, and his plans for the future. Hope you enjoy the episode. So Darren, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you and where do you come from?
Sure thing, Rory. I'm Darren. I'm 25 and I grew up in Thurles, Tipperary, in a family of successful audio business owners, audiovisual business owners even. As a kid, I loved science, nature, art, later sport. Studied a bachelor's in mechanical engineering in UCD and then later a master's in engineering with business from UCD as well. I then during that I did an internship in Amsterdam in a company called MX3D, and I currently work as a graduate development agent in Enterprise Ireland. So,
So
yeah, that's me.
you said your family are audio and visual experts. Did that ever?
Exactly, yeah. And I said a successful business because they've been around the block for over 30 years, so it's not easy to do that. So they know what
And
they're doing.
are you the heir to the throne, so to that business?
No, I'm actually not. My two brothers are my two older brothers. They're taking the leads at the moment. But you never know. I might get back into it. I have worked with them when I finished college for a year, and put in my part. And I might come back and put some expertise into it from a fresh angle, hopefully. So we'll see.
So you needed to go out and get a degree, so basically what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you went to the CBS in Turles, is it?
That's the one. Yeah.
And how did you find your time in school then?
To be honest, I loved primary school and secondary school. Now I did think primary school was a lot more freeing because there wasn't this whole teenager angst to being cool. So you could really explore your interests. Your teacher would kind of put that forward, and I'm sure some secondary schools would do the same. But in an all boys school, you know yourself, yeah, you might run into some slagging or whatever at certain times. So I wasn't used to that for the first 3 years maybe, and I actually remember I probably put a lot of time into figuring out that whole social dynamics of secondary school, and once I figured it out, it was probably a breeze for me, I would say. Then I also played basketball, rugby, and competitive swimming throughout my school years, so once you're good at sports in school, you're kind of you're set as well.
Yeah.
So
And you didn't play hurling.
I didn't play hurling, no. I remember in primary school picking up a hurley and not knowing what to do with it when I was maybe 8 or 9. And by that stage, everyone in Tip, they've been hurling since they were
Yeah.
like in the cot in the womb nearly. So I was behind. So I actually thought I was bad at sports, but then once I started playing basketball first, I saw that I was actually pretty decent. It's just I had it in my head that it was bad because everyone else was so far ahead as a kid. So yeah, it's funny how that worked out. But no hurling. I played a bit of football in primary school, but also same kind of thing. So
So you thought the hurl was a bit of a weapon instead of a sport, yeah?
exactly, yeah. And it is.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you always want to do engineering and especially mechanical?
Yeah, definitely not. So come the latter half of 6th year, I was stressing, didn't know what I wanted to do. I even attempted, gave a meager attempt at the HPAT,
Oh,
just
wow.
because I didn't have a clue what to do. So in the end, I was actually convinced by a family friend of ours who was a few years older than I was, and at the time he was doing electrical engineering in UCD. So he basically told me, look, engineering, it's so broad and valuable to any company. Engineers can work anywhere you want. It's interesting because it's solving problems, and UCD, best place to do it, go there. And after that, I was sold. So I think I also had an effect on my friend group as well, because, or maybe they came to it independently, but four of my best friends from school also did engineering around the country. So yeah, it seems to be a popular choice, and you know yourself, I think you being an engineer, you came to that realization too.
Yeah, no, all those reasons were definitely the reason why I picked it, especially the broadness of it all. Like, if Even if you find out you hate engineering, I think there'll always be a place for you in some company or some industry.
Big time, yeah.
So stop bringing me on to my next question, which was UCD. Was that always your first choice? And it sounds like it was.
Yeah, it was. To be honest, I listened to my friend Brian. He and I looked into it as well, and engineering in UCD seemed to be like had the most facilities, and also I felt it seemed I took a visit to UCD and I felt like it was the most kind of Americanized campus in Ireland. It's kind of like community more so. Like Trinity is nice and stuff, and I'm not putting Trinity down as much as I'd love to, but. When walking through Trinity, you never really knew who was a student or who was just a tourist. And UCD, I think, had a real sense of community, which I kind of liked. And the sports facilities there were also top notch. So,
I suppose I used to meet you a lot in the sauna and stuff like that, so
yeah, exactly. Oh, I spent
no.
my days there.
The sports
Love it.
facilities are really something, are really top class.
100%. Yeah.
So you enjoyed your time in UCD anyway, because you had 5 years there, so you did a lot of extracurricular stuff as well.
Yeah, loved it. So geez, over the 5 years I continued playing basketball, played varsity basketball, did some swimming with the team there, part of the surf club parties, into surfing, so went on a few trips with them. The Mechanical Engineers Society, I was involved in a good bit, as you'd know as well. I got you involved in that.
Unfortunately, the Mechanical Engineering Society, it died a death after you left.
Yeah, well, it was dying a death during
Yeah.
COVID, don't worry. But no, it's actually back up and revived now. So here, I kind of helped. Someone was
Oh,
on to me.
brilliant.
Yeah, so
They're
I
looking
helped
for
them
the
out
login to
there.
the social medias, are they?
Exactly. Yeah. I think they were on to Eamon and other guys. But I think it's all good now. Everything was so slow after COVID, and like trying to get a society running through Zoom is a terribly hard thing to do. And the only people who were kind of active in it were first years, and even then the novelty of those calls died out. It was tough. It was tough. But good to be part of nonetheless. Probably, yeah, the best thing we ran was an egg drop competition where you had to engineer a device to drop an egg from a height and make it survive. We got a lot of got a lot of people entering. Some
A lot of
cool,
survivals.
yeah, a lot of survivals actually. A lot of interesting videos made as well. Something different, but yeah, it was good to be part of a society and doing things outside of just college work. Because college really is the time you'll have the most friends, and I definitely got a shock how quickly you lose touch with a lot of friends afterwards. Like they'll still be your friends, but you're not going to be even texting them as often because you're not around them. And yeah, it's different when you leave university. I don't know if you felt the same.
I suppose I'm probably out a bit sooner than you, so probably not yet. I presume a lot of your friends are have emigrated.
Yeah, good. Yeah, a lot are in Australia, in fairness, but even those who are not as well, they're just living around the country. It's just you're in different groups, and yeah, I just felt it was a bit different. And we'll all meet up now and again, but it's very different, I thought.
And
But
how did COVID then impact your college career? Because I think for COVID for us, we hadn't kind of made our friend group just right before COVID, because I was in first year, you were in second year,
yeah.
and that friend group of there was nearly about 50 people in it that followed the whole way through my 4 years in college, and we still go to parties and all together now,
That's
because
brilliant.
we were living up there during the lockdown, so that helped a lot. I know not everyone had
Yeah.
that kind of.
Yeah, to be honest, I think you lucked out with that, the fact you had a friends group made, because I know people who were in first year. Well, my girlfriend being one of them, she'd have one semester, and some people who you were just kind of starting to make friends with, they lost touch with them fairly quickly. And they didn't have a true college experience. But for me anyway, COVID came when I was in second semester of third year, and I did have a pretty cool group of friends at that stage, so it wasn't too bad. However, we did see it was different. I remember I moved to Rathmines, which was great. However, nothing was happening in Ireland, so I thought I needed to, I don't know, do something different. So that's why I actually applied to Amsterdam for my internship,
Oh yeah.
which is brilliant. That kind of, to be honest, that kind of saved COVID for me, because Netherlands at the time were a lot more
They're a
lenient
bit more
around COVID
liberal, yeah.
rules. Yeah, exactly.
And we will get to the internship,
Of
but
course, of course.
I just
Yeah.
want to touch on the masters. So you said
Yeah.
you did the engineering with business masters. So if you do
Yeah.
mechanical engineering in UCD, you've got a wide range of subjects you can pick. So the likes of materials, you can do a mechanical energy systems masters, and then there's a business one. So me coming from a chemical engineering background, we don't need one option, which is chemical engineering. So do you think
Yes.
Picking the business one was a good call, or do a lot of people do that?
Yeah, to be honest, I think it was the right call. Now I know there's core engineers who truly love the technicalities
100%, yeah.
and physics behind it and love to get bogged down into things. And don't get me wrong, I love technicalities too, but also coming from a business background, I wanted to maybe be entrepreneurial one day, and some background in business I thought might give me a hand in that. And although we had still plenty of engineering modules, there were some modules in the business course, like entrepreneurship for engineers or marketing communications, that kind of give the, let's say, a welcomed creative opportunity to college that I was frankly missing with core engineering modules. Just gave you kind of room to, yeah, be have more fun with it, rather than doing a lot of mathematical equations and yourself. Now there was a lot of creativity in engineering itself as well. We had a lot of design classes, but I did like the business side of things overall, and for that reason, for me anyway, I think it was the right call.
Yeah, so I suppose for those, not, I don't think anyone knows this, but we met when we were 15, 16 in Irish
We
College,
did.
and
Lurgan, Clash of
Lurgan,
Lurgan.
Clash Lurgan, and we shared a room and everything. But you were always a very social one, everyone knew you, so that's why I wasn't very surprised when you did pick the business masters.
Okay.
I think you're more of a, social person than out and out engineer.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that.
And then just the
Yeah.
last question I have about engineering is, are you happy you picked engineering?
Yeah, definitely. To be honest, I still don't see myself studying for the first time any other discipline. I think I would have always been kind of wondering if I what's it called, pigeonholed myself into something. I'll always be
Yeah.
wondering about something else more, and I still am. I still have thoughts, oh, maybe one day I'll go back to college and do something else. But I think just engineering gives you a kind of basis for problem solving, and I think anything you do after getting through an engineering degree will just seem easy, and I think the most prevalent aspect of being an engineer is being a kind of logic focused person and having foresight to think ahead, what could go wrong, what would be the best outcome. And that goes out through life rather than a job. And I know the people I made friends with in engineering course more so than friends that I know outside of engineering. And the engineers that I know, they're probably the best at life design, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So they're good at weighing up pros and cons
For their career
of
path and things like that, and
exactly, but not only like working up their way in a corporate ladder, they might live frugally. Some I know are living frugally and traveling instead of going straight into a job, and because they know they'll be happier for time being, and they have loads of time. They're able to put themselves in an uncomfortable or unfamiliar environment, or just even being content with their own passions, forgetting about the money. And those are the ones that might really be figuring out, but not sure yet. But we'll see. But engineers more so than most, I think they have a different spin on the whole life plan,
I
in
suppose a lot
my
of en
experience. Now
a
it could be
lot,
bias,
yeah.
but yeah.
A lot of engineers will find the quickest way to get to where they want to get,
Exactly. Yeah.
and they might
That's
cut corners, but they'll get there.
exactly. What's that saying? If you want to get a job done, find a lazy person because they'll find the
Yeah.
fastest way to do it. So,
I was actually trying to think of it, but
yeah.
I was gonna butcher it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
plenty of lazy engineers,
Oh,
but they're
100%.
clever.
And then you mentioned the internship in Amsterdam. So I remember you telling me about this a couple of years ago, and I was just fascinated about the whole internship. It's kind of it was a really cool project, was it?
Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah. So the reason I did it in Amsterdam or outside of the country more so was that I didn't do an Erasmus. And then, of course, the country was locked down. So I said I'd look towards Europe. So, yeah, I found during the time we had kind of gotten into 3D printing. My friends group and I were messing around with
Yep, I
it,
remember.
which was, yeah, it was just pretty cool. So I looked at internship opportunities on Indeed online, not too hectically, but I found one advertised for a business developer intern in a company called MX3D. So I looked into them, recognized their metal 3D prints from a materials module I had. So basically, they specialize in a relatively new industrial use case of 3D printing called wire arc additive manufacturing, or WAM for short. So it sounds crazy, but it's basically just a robot with an industrial welder on its end that welds lines of metal to create parts. So they weld a line of metal, and then that dries, next line, until you have something like a propeller for a ship, or their most famous, they did it as a use case example. They 3D printed the world's first metal bridge that actually went over a canal in Amsterdam when I was there. So
Wow.
that was really cool. So I actually getting the job was quite straightforward and easier than expected. I think interviewing for somewhere like that, the research I did on the company beforehand was sacrosanct, you know. It made it sound like I was interested, which I was, and because I looked up the company beforehand and some papers, and I got on well with the CCO who was interviewing me, Rene, and in the end he was kind of my mentor, so he taught me a whole lot about business and engineering industries, and you know, you learn a whole lot more when you're actually working in a company rather than just in college. It's
Yeah,
completely different, especially with
100%.
engineering. And Amsterdam itself, brilliant city. So cycling distance from everywhere, and moving somewhere and not knowing a single person, it's so good for and networking. And I recommend it to anyone. And I say networking not in a business aspect, solely also just for friends. I have friends for life now from Amsterdam that I would never have met otherwise, and they're very cool guys. So I recommend just throwing yourself into somewhere you don't know anyone and figuring out, because you have to, you know.
And do you think you could see yourself living there again?
Yeah, I think I could actually live in Amsterdam. It's somewhere that kind of, I think when you visit there for the first time, you can kind of miss a lot of things. Like a lot of people stay in city center Amsterdam, which is dingy. And you
Known
know,
for
you
the
have
wrong
the red light
reasons,
district
maybe.
and
Yeah.
yeah, there were wrong reasons exactly, but on the outskirts of Amsterdam, it's beautiful to live in. The quality of living is really good, and Dutch people themselves, they kind of understand the Irish humor. They get it more so than, let's say, the Germans or the French, in my opinion. They're a bit goofy, you know. They're not exactly Irish in humor completely, but they understand how we work. So I actually had a lot of Dutch friends over there. So yeah, it's somewhere I think I could live. Now, very far from the sea and surfable waves, so
Yeah,
that's one negative. So
no waves there, I'd imagine.
yeah.
I suppose the level of English over there helps for kind of just even
Oh yeah,
integration and the humor
I
and stuff like
mean,
that you mentioned.
exactly, yeah. Everyone can speak perfect English,
Yeah.
practically, yeah. So
And then
not too bad.
just going back to the technology used by that company, do you think it's something that will be kind of in 10 years' time, there'll be a lot more of it disused, like you could see bridges in Ireland being made using this
Yeah,
technology?
hopefully, maybe not bridges, but industrial use products for like oil and gas industry, maybe just big manufacturing metal parts that you need in a quick amount of time. So usually you need a cast made, and if you're only making a few of those parts, it might end up being extremely expensive to make these individual parts. So if 3D printing really comes into own in that use case. However, the problem with it is the health and safety certification is slow
Okay.
behind it. So you have to certify the process because everything could be different to the nozzle temperature, to the gas rate that's coming out of the welder. There's a lot of things that it's hard to set perfect every time. So that's where it's kind of difficult to get mass use, but MX3D and other companies are slowly but surely, I think, getting there. And there's good look for the future. There's a couple of companies that are using it for rockets as well, and maybe potential to use this type of 3D printing to 3D print rockets on the moon or Mars in the future. It would
Okay.
be potentially the best way. Which is cool. So yeah, it's a futuristic technology, and it was great to be around it. And it was a small company. They were up and coming, maybe 30 employees. So it was really good to see that kind of mid-sized company grow and try to get contracts. While I was there, they got a big contract with BMW, which was huge news as well. So good to be working with big players in the industry too. So yeah.
Okay, so Darren, so we haven't actually mentioned your job yet. So you are working with Enterprise Ireland in the engineering sector, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And for those who don't know, what do Enterprise Ireland do?
Yes, so Enterprise Ireland is a government organization that help Irish startups and established companies that are expanding and exporting into new markets around the world. So they have up to 40 offices around the world that help Irish companies go into market globally. So yeah, you get first-hand experience working with CEOs, CFOs, getting insight into both the Irish business landscape and also abroad. And yeah, they're a great, honestly, it's a great organization. And I was surprised when I joined, the EI staff genuinely care about the Irish economy and how Ireland is perceived and how the companies will grow and do better. So yeah, I'm really impressed. I'm there since the end of November, so that's been 4 months now, and it's been great.
And would you be working with a lot of pharmaceutical companies? Because that's probably where the big boom is, where the big exports are in Ireland.
There's a lot of pharma companies, all right. However, a lot of those are multinational companies,
Oh,
so
so you're
they'd
focusing
be a
on
lot of
Irish
IDA
companies.
focused. Yeah,
Okay.
so they have to be Irish owned for Enterprise Ireland to work with them. I'm also in the engineering sector of the engineering and life sciences. So some of my colleagues on the same floor are working with so original equipment manufacturers, OEMs, that would supply a lot of the pharma companies. So yeah, there is a whole lot in Ireland with the pharma.
So are you working with kind of engineering companies and consulting companies that are looking to, like diversify and go into different markets?
Exactly. Yeah. So it could range from precision engineering companies that are supplying larger consulting companies, or the semicon industry, or clean rooms, data centers, or it could be a lot of ag equipment manufacturers in Ireland. It's a huge sector, and then aerospace, massive in Ireland. Engineering companies doing plastics for planes, and even some space part manufacturers are in Ireland, surprisingly enough. So yeah, working with first-hand experience working with these companies. And you know what, it's not just Enterprise Ireland is not just a grad or grant giver, you know. It's we
Advice.
regularly vi visit clients and take firsthand involvement in the overall strategies of the companies. It's kind of like it's a nice relationship because you're like a consultant. However, you're not being paid by the company itself. So more often than expected, you're helping the company's overall strategy in the first place. Because some of these companies, they might be smaller, usually around they range from about 1 million turnover to I think the biggest might be 300 million in the engineering sector. Now don't quote me on that, but a lot of range. Most would be about 1 million to 20 million turnover. And some of these are very established companies and are doing well, have been in business for years. They might be second, third generation companies. But when you ask them where they do they want to be in 3 years' time or where do you see the market in 3 years' time, a lot of them they frankly don't have a clue or don't have that plan. So we kind of start steering the conversation into making that plan and creating efficiencies within their company or whatever. So we might promote something like digitization in their company or green initiatives. What does that mean? So a lot of companies are start a lot of engineering companies are still operating with a lot of paperwork, might just be using Excel to track their stock and jobs. So we kind of introduce something like thinking about adopting an ERP system, so an enterprise resource planning. So this is one system that would be throughout their company to get all their stock, HR management, finance, supply chain, accounting, all into one system. So something like that is it's no easy feat for a company, and it can take years to actually get used to it once they adopt it. But something like that can create a huge change culturally, but also efficiency. And sometimes they just need us to give them a push to go ahead and do it. And obviously our the grants involved help as well, you know. So
And would you nearly describe it as a sales job, nearly? Because let's say you had an engineering company and you thought they'd do very well in the Spanish market, and you went to the Enterprise Ireland office in Madrid, and kind of is there kind of a link that way as well?
So for I think for the international program, it might be more of that way. So you're so likes of was it Don Lawler you interviewed?
Dan Lawler, yeah.
Dan Lawler. Sorry, I actually don't know him personally. I almost reached out to him, but he's a market advisor. That's the title for international grads. So I'm a development advisor. So instead of introducing to markets, where we kind of work on a company strategy more so. Now there is sometimes where we would carry out that kind of role, but it's sales in a sense that a lot of times the CEO you can't say to a CEO it's that they should do this or they should do that because what do I know? I'm not or what does the DA I'm under know even? They're in the business, you know, but you kind of have to broach certain topics in a way that the CEO will think, oh, that's their either it's their idea in the first place or that's a good thing that they need to do. So it's a kind of a yeah push pull kind of thing. There's this book that I read recently called Never Split the Difference. It's about negotiating and it's very good and it's very good for anyone looking to excel in their kind of business acumen in a conversation because it kind of breaks down how the other side thinks in negotiation and how to get them thinking in the way that you would like them to think or think you should be. But yeah, giving advice more than sales, you know, and showing them what we have available. And there is teams in Enterprise Ireland that have expertise and connecting people to those is brilliant, you know. Sometimes that's all our company needs to get the ball rolling.
And would you say the kind of typical engineering skills are applicable to this job, or is it kind of mainly client-facing, face-to-face skills that are more
You know, in the
needed?
grad role, it's usually business students that either apply or get the role. So it is a bit different being coming from an engineering background. However, I know that it's hugely beneficial being able to speak to
In their
leaders
language.
of engineering companies and understanding how they how they speak and how they act. You know, most of them are these core engineers, you know, and when they realize you kind of have a deeper knowledge, they definitely respect you more, I think. Now I know some of the business grads are absolutely brilliant as well, even better than I would without the engineering knowledge. You know, they're just fantastic communicators. But yeah, they're like, as I said, engineering has been broad and it's problem solving, and there's plenty of problem solving in Enterprise Ireland. So whether you say that that's core engineering or not, I'm not sure, but I think it is. But yeah.
And would you say with the job, there's lots of opportunities to progress or possibly even relocate?
Yeah, there seems to be anyway. Now I'm only in it a few months, so I came on late to the grad program. I got the call up, which was I was very happy about it. So progression, I think you can apply to open positions after a year on the job. So right now I'm not focusing on that, but there seems to be opportunities in all of those in well in any of the international offices where someone leaves or whatever, and because there's so many people working, there's always opportunities to fill places. So yeah, I would say there's plenty of progression in Enterprise Ireland, and then advanced roles as well in the national office. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good place to work.
Yeah, so you're happy enough.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, another good thing that I didn't fully realize is that you kind of get an insight into upcoming trends in the economy. So for example,
Investments
the
wise,
EU,
like
well, investments, what, it gets you thinking. It does, 100%.
yeah.
I mean, when you say investments, NVIDIA, the
Oh
semiconductor
yeah.
company that's going through the roof at the
Yep,
moment,
that makes sense. Yep.
I can kind of peg it to that. The EU has commissioned the European Chips Act re recently, so that states that from having 10% of the global microchips market, they want to increase it to 20% by 2030. So obviously there's huge investments going into Europe, particularly in Germany and the Magdeburg region. So this has serious implications for Irish companies, as the Intel plant in Leixlip is one of the highest spec microchip producers in Europe currently. So there's experience in Ireland building facilities and contributing to equipment within. So we in Enterprise Ireland have to facilitate getting this experience and knowledge that's already there in Ireland into these future opportunities in Germany and that upcoming 30 billion plus investment in the next few years. So yeah, there's a lot of linking companies together to make market opportunities and making this what we say Team Ireland. So companies in Ireland, they don't need to compete with each other. The world is kind of bigger than that. Most of the time, working together is more advantageous to them. So we at Enterprise Ireland try to demonstrate that however possible, and yeah, also see the trends, you know. So yeah, it's a brilliant place to be.
And I suppose I know you a while now, and outside of your 9 to 5, you've done a bit of modeling.
I have indeed,
I
yes.
can see that GOMO ad is still popping up every now and again.
Yeah, the Golden
Is
Goose.
it the world's easiest job or what? Or
I'm a lucky guy, and that's all that is really, the luck of the draw. So never
you're
wanted to be a model really, but I was scouted, told you can make money from it, and haven't looked back since.
Still chipping away.
Still tipping away. Now it's taken the back foot now since I have a full-time job, but I've done a couple of jobs this year even, so I'm all over Dunnes Stores at the moment.
Oh,
And
H&M, was it? Was there an H&M gig now? Or was
not
that Dunnes Stores?
H&M, Penny's. I was in a
Oh, yeah.
fashion show for it in January. Lifestyle Sports as well, it'll be on the website. But you know, it is an easy job, you know,
Yeah.
look pretty and stuff, but you know, you need a lot of confidence, and you don't have to work
Yeah.
with, you need to know that you look good and how to work with a photographer and people. And you know, I can say now I think I'm 6 years doing it, and I think I'm good at it, you know. I'm
And I suppose you need to be able to turn up and realize that I could be wearing anything today.
exactly, yeah. I've worn some ridiculous things that I'm not too proud of. But no, to be honest, when I show up to a shoot, I'm excited. They're good days, you know. You're fed well, and you'll be in an interesting location. I remember I came back from traveling last year. My first day back, it was a Monday morning, and I was shooting for Kilkenny Wear. Probably, yeah, you know it. They have kind of cotton jumpers, lovely. And the day was maybe it was the 1st of May, and my whole day was lying down in a field of daisies with other beautiful models around me. You know, that was I mean, yeah. Now
They're
it's
paying me to do this.
exactly, yeah, crazy. But the jobs they come sporadically, so I don't get too attached. But when I can do it, I will, and it's brilliant. I should really be pushing my personal brand on Instagram, and but that side of things isn't really a passion, so it's kind of tough. I hope to do it. I've plenty of friends that I know are really good at it, and yeah, so somewhere I'm definitely lacking, kind of pushing that side of things. But maybe in the future, who knows?
And you mentioned the traveling, so I suppose you copied my route.
That's what I was
Would I
gonna
say
say. Yeah,
that?
you kind of convinced me to go to Central America last year.
And how did it go?
Oh, absolutely brilliant. So I traveled with my girlfriend, Slave, and it was actually her first time backpacking. So there was some teething to get through at the start, but she figured it out. It was brilliant. We traveled Panama all the way up to Mexico and hit every country in between. And we stayed for a long time in Nicaragua. We were volunteering in a hostel there, and you know, just waking up every day to the heat and surfing and just chilling out is definitely what was needed, I think. But yeah, I loved it. Did plenty of scuba diving too in Honduras, and hiked up an active volcano. I think you did the same for Atitinango. Is that how you pronounce it, Rory?
Acatenango, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty
And
good.
so, any personal highlights or favorite countries from that?
Definitely Nicaragua, because I think we got involved in the culture there because we were actually staying there so long. And I mean, like I love wildlife and animals, and I bought a pretty decent camera beforehand, so I was able to get into wildlife photography. So Panama and Costa Rica, unbelievable for wildlife. Actually, all the countries I visited were, but particularly Costa Rica has the national reserves down. However, so expensive. We probably we spent 2.5 weeks there, and I'd say we spent enough money to spend 2 months in Nicaragua, you know. Panama is kind of similar as well.
That's the
So
Americans for you, though, isn't it?
exactly,
When
yeah, they're kind of
they get hold of something, the prices go up.
exactly. And then I really noticed in Mexico, we stayed that our last kind of two spots were Tulum and Cancun, and that's just a American tourist trap, you know. Cool. Oh, I loved Cay Caulker in Belize as well. It was fantastic, you know, especially because they all spoke English there. It was a nice little relief
Yeah, they
from.
kind of have like a Creole English. It's
Exactly, yeah. Hey,
mad to
I met
listen to.
someone in, it wasn't Cay Caulker. It was on one of the islands in Honduras.
Utila,
What's it?
Utila.
Utila, yeah. And I could have sworn he was from Cork. He was mad. His accent was nuts.
I think there's a Caribbean island that they all have Cork accents, so
Yeah, wouldn't be
I'm not
surprised.
sure the name of it, Montserrat maybe or something like that,
Yeah, I
or
think it came from the slave trade. A lot of Irish slaves were over there at some time now. But
But he was calling you a langer and all, was he?
yeah, he was, yeah.
Okay, so I suppose that's enough about traveling. So I suppose
Yeah.
we'll wrap up the podcast with the last few questions.
Sure thing.
What do you think your dream job is, Darren? Because you've mentioned a lot in this podcast, I suppose.
Yeah, pretty tough one. So it's, I'm unsure if there's a single job that would satisfy me. So I'm quite happy for now exploring, seeing what happens. EI is certainly a great place for that. So I did this 10-day silent retreat in summer last year,
No
and
speaking.
no speaking.
I would not be able to
Yeah,
do
you love speaking.
that.
But you surprise yourself though. If
It's
you
really
get
hard,
through,
I'm sure, was it?
it was so difficult, yeah. But lots of big life realizations, as you might expect, and some lasting, some transient, but overall brilliant. But one of the biggest realizations from that was that at 25, I'm crazy young, can experiment with a lot of things to find that dream job, if that even a thing. So yeah, venture capital could be cool one day, maybe. It's kind of similar to the gig I'm in at the moment at EI, but maybe after I launch my own business, who knows?
That was my next question because you said you're always a bit of an entrepreneur. So, any ideas for starting a business? Me and you maybe go in together, 50-50.
I'd be open to that idea. I might have an opening actually at the moment. I took over, my sister had this idea for a business that about 2 years ago. It's called Grawphone. So Graw is in love, phone is in phone. You can look it up, Grafon.ie. But it's basically an audio guest book service for weddings. So you know the way you have a wedding guest book where guests write down little messages for the happy couple. So it's like that, but on an old style telephone, so people can leave an audio message instead. It's great. It was in America, and I think Fiona, my sister, was the first one to have it in Ireland. So yeah, so that was, she started that 2 years ago, and I'm just after taking that over and trying to expand upon it and develop it. So yeah, if you want a job, maybe you can start packing up some phones.
This podcast has gone so sideways.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, my own business sometimes, maybe.
I could definitely see you owning your own
Pl
business and
plenty ideas.
And then, so what's the future for Darren O'Sullivan? Who knows?
Just for now, I think keep on enjoying myself, work on some passions and progress, passions and projects. So I don't know if you've read Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey, have you?
No.
It's you should listen to it because it's read by him, so on
Oh, okay.
Audible. So he has this beautiful voice, and it's a good feel good kind of book about life or whatever. And there's one quote, and it's like, because if we don't live longer when we try, oh, I fucked it. Sorry. Because we don't live longer when we try not to die, we live longer when we're too busy living. So
That's a good one.
So hopefully that's the future. Be too busy living, do some cool things, start a business, travel the world, write a book, make a movie, I don't know. Wouldn't want to know either, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised
Yeah.
if you did any of those things in there, Darren.
Yeah,
So,
yeah, yeah.
okay, well, thanks a million for coming on the
Yeah.
podcast. I hope you enjoyed
Yeah, thanks,
yourself.
Rory. Always good to chat to you. Always have time.
Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, thank you.